Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet, And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, we've just heard a tale of two kings. We've heard about the helpless king who looks powerful, and the powerful king who looks helpless. He's the mysterious baby Jesus that we've learned about through the nativity that the children have performed for us. And as we think a little bit more about this tale of two kings, God wants to teach us who the true king is this morning, so that we would worship him and so that we would receive him as our greatest treasure. So let's look at these two then. And first off, the helpless king who looks powerful. The helpless king who looks powerful. If you look at the reading that we heard read, Matthew goes out of his way to tell us that Herod is king. Verse 1 and verse 3, Herod the king. In verse 9, he's just called the king. He can call the chief priests and all the religious crowd come running in verse 4. In verse 7, he can call these foreign visitors to his palace and they come running too. Herod looks like the guy with all the power. And that's certainly what Jerusalem thinks. Actually, Jerusalem is scared of Herod's power. Look at verse 3. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Maybe you know what it's like. Your boss or your teacher walks in and is in a foul mood, a really bad mood. And what everyone wants to do then is leave the room as quickly as possible. No one wants to be in the danger zone. Well, that's how Jerusalem feels. Word gets out about Herod, and people are scared, because when Herod is in a bad mood, people die. He's the type of man who later on will kill people, even kill children, just to keep himself safe, to keep himself on the throne. But he looks powerful, but is actually helpless, powerless. Herod is powerless, really. You see, he's powerless to protect his kingdom. He's powerless to find out exactly where the baby Jesus was born and now lives. He's powerless to get the wise men to obey him. He's powerless to stop God's great plan of salvation. He's powerless to stop the comet appearing over Jerusalem. He's powerless, and yet he loves power. Herod loves power. It's what he's desperate for. It's what he wants more than anything else. That's what he uses religion for in verse 4. That's what he uses the foreign visitors for in verse 7. To keep his power. If you've seen The Lord of the Rings, think Gollum. Herod is like Gollum with his ring. He loves power and he does not want to let it go. And actually, Herod is the king we deserve. The product of our own corrupt wishes, the product of our own corrupt society. He's the king we deserve. And also, in the smallness of our own lives, we are Herod too. You could say, je suis Herod. Because all of us is power hungry, longing to control our own lives, longing to rule over family, friends, and work. And thirsty. Thirsty to have control, so that we even become suspicious. Suspicious of those who might take our power from us. And what happens then is that just like Herod and Jerusalem, we create an atmosphere of fear around us. As we try to keep our lives under our control, we drain all the warmth and the love and the stability out. And we too become helpless, pretending to be powerful. But the good news of the Nativity, the good news of what Matthew is teaching us in Matthew 2, is that things don't have to stay that way. There is a way out of the mess. It's not the way of saying me first. It's the way of doing what the Magi did and falling down before the king who came down. Which leads us then to our second king. First we had the helpless king who seems powerful. Now we have the powerful king who seems helpless. And just as Matthew told us again and again who Herod was, king, so Matthew tells us again and again who Jesus is. 5 times Matthew speaks of Jesus being born, or speaks of him as the child. Now, by the time the wise men visit Jesus, Jesus is probably 1 or 2 years old. He's maybe walking about a bit, maybe speaking a few simple sentences, maybe joining in the local nativity play. But he's still helpless, it seems. He's still a toddler. He can't defend himself. He's still dependent on his mum in verse 11. He's no match for Herod. He won't win against Herod, you might think. But there is more going on than meets the eye. You see, this baby who seems helpless is full of surprises. Verse 2, he's the king of the Jews. And then later on, Mary is mentioned, but not Joseph. And then we know Joseph is still alive. So when Matthew mentions Mary but leaves out Joseph, Matthew is trying to tell us something. Namely, that this baby is born of God. He is the Son of God, born through the Holy Spirit. So he's the King of the Jews, he's the Son of God, and he can give great joy in verses 10 and 11. He can satisfy the hearts of the people who search for him and find him. Ultimately, this baby is God's promised king. Verse 6 tells us that. You, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. That's what this baby has power to do. Jesus Christ has power to be king of the world. Born to shepherd his people, to lead people from every tribe and every country into eternal life and joy and delight. So that anyone can find peace in him, even the wise men. It's often easy to make the wise men seem fairly harmless and nice people. Don't think nice people. Think, well, maybe Voldemort, or Sauron, or Harry Potter, or Gandalf. These are magicians and wizards, star worshippers, coming from a foreign country to bow the knee before Jesus. Because the picture Matthew is painting for us to see is that Jesus Christ has the power to save anyone and everyone. Anyone, no matter who they are, what they've done, where they're from. Anyone who comes to him can be saved. Because this shepherd king has power to save his people from their sins. Power to gather up all those lost sheep, lead them through the valley of the shadow of death, and bring them to an eternal home with God forever. So this Christmas, there are 2 choices. Will you continue to be Herod, trying to hold on to a power that doesn't belong to you, trying to have control? Or will you, like the wise men, bow before King Jesus? Give your treasures to him and receive him to be the greatest and best of all treasures.